Hallelujah.
Book of Numbers, chapter 10, verse 29 is where we'll begin reading tonight. Look forward to the weekend. Let's be praying for our services on Saturday night, Sunday morning, Sunday night. God's will be done in our services. Amen. That the Lord help us, meet with us, just do something special in our lives. Amen.
Praise
the Lord. And appreciate your faithfulness to the house of the Lord. Amen. Praise God. Numbers chapter 10, verse 29. And Moses said unto Hobab, son of Reguel, the Midianite, Moses' father-in-law, we are journeying unto the place of which the Lord said, I will give it you. Come thou with us, and we will do thee good. For the Lord hath spoken good concerning Israel. And he said unto him, I will not go. But I will depart to mine own land and to my kindred. And he said, Leave us not, I pray thee, for as much as thou knowest how we are to encamp in the wilderness, and thou mayest be to us instead of eyes. And it shall be, if thou go with us, yea, it shall be that what goodness the Lord shall do unto us, the same will we do unto thee. Man, what a wonderful opportunity that was given to Hobab.
Amen.
A wonderful opportunity that was given to that man. But he declined and turned down a tremendous opportunity. I'm sure that what Hobab enjoyed in the land of Midian, or as a Midianite individual, I'm sure what he had, he referred to his kindred, he referred to his land. I'm sure his people were good to him. He probably had nice kinfolk, you know. Their family reunions probably didn't turn into brawls and riots and have the police called out. Like some of ours, maybe. I'm sure the land that the Midianites dwelt in, it was probably a decent land. It was probably a good place to live. Probably wasn't all that bad of a place to dwell when you think about it. I mean, come on. When he look at it in comparison to what God was going to offer, it seems to me like that Hobab settled for something that was second best. Hobab just settled for something that was second best. I don't know, there's some people that they like the same old in their life all the time. Some people resist change. They don't ever want to change. So they stay in the same low-paying, dead-end job all of their life, because they resist change. When opportunity has come to move somewhere else to better themselves, they resist that change. When they have an opportunity that's been given to them to improve their self, or to improve their life, or to improve their wealth, they decline because they would much rather stay in the security of what they have than to step out into the unknown and possibly receive some great blessing. We settle for second best in a lot of areas in our life. A lot of areas in our life. Now, when Sister Ruth married me, it wasn't second best. Might have been third or fourth, but it probably wasn't second. Sometimes we settle for second best in a lot of areas in our life. You know that? Amen. Melita's getting married here in August, okay? 23rd, couple weeks. Keep it in mind, Friday night. She's not settling for second best. Trey's really, really a great guy. But anyway, I digressed. Sometimes we settle for the thing that is just a little lower than what we could have. How many times have you settled for second best in your life? Maybe you look back over it now and you say, you know what? I missed opportunity. I missed an opportunity because I was afraid to step out or try to take a step of faith or whatever. One of the biggest things that we learn in our physical life and in our spiritual life is that if we're not careful, we become slaves to second best. We become, amen, one that loves to live a life of second best. And the choices that we make today will determine whether we accept what is second best or if we take what God has to offer as the very best. Amen. Because what God wants to do in our life, amen, is something wonderful and glorious. Amen. During this journey that the children of Israel have been on, about just a period of time, you know, man, they had been in rough campsites. They had been across rocky ground and hard traveling. And then along comes a relative of Moses. Hobab is his name. He was a Midianite. He was really kind of a sojourner, a wanderer in the desert. But if you would, he knew because of his position of being a wanderer and a traveler and a sojourner, the knowledge that Hobab had of the region that the children of Israel was passing through was invaluable to the people of Israel. Moses, he was smart enough, he had enough kidneys to realize, amen, that he needed a man like Hobab to help him with this journey through the wilderness. Hobab was a man that was kind of like, the scout, the old West scout that would go out and scout for the cavalry as they would go out to fight and to war. He would venture ahead and he knew the country and he could tell them, here's where you want to bed down. Here's where there's water. He was like a wagon master and a wagon train going west that had been over that route so many times, knew the good campsites, knew the places where they had good water, knew the places where there was safety and also places of danger and places to be aware of. That's what Hobab was. And he would have known the very good things, amen, that the people of Israel needed to know in this journey through the wilderness. And that's why Moses said, please come and go with us. Come and go with us. We need you. We need you, Hobab. He went so far as to say, we need you. We need you as our eyes. We need you to. We need you as our eyes because you know so much and you can help us. Would you please come and go with us? Moses goes into a sales pitch. How many of you have ever been to a car dealer that had a good sales pitch? You know, isn't it amazing? The car that's sitting on their lot is beautiful. It's amazing. It's wonderful. Nothing wrong with it. Why, that's an awesome car. It's worth two times what we're charging for it. And then when they look at your car that you're going to trade in, oh, that there, my, that is poor. That is pitiful. That ain't worth nothing. Man, and they, you know, Moses was on had a sales pitch that he was going to offer to Hobab. And the first thing he offered, he told him was, we are on a journey. We are on a journey. Hobab, what you see right here, I know we look kind of like a ragtag army. We don't look very organized. We don't look very special, but you got to realize we are going somewhere. We are on a journey to a specific place. We are on a journey, amen, to a destination that is called the Promised Land. We are on a destination to a place, amen, where God has set aside a place for us to dwell, a land that God has given us, a land flowing with milk and honey. I can just imagine as Moses tells him, I know when you look on, we don't look like all that much. We don't look all that special. But let me tell you where we are going. Let me tell you where we're heading to. Amen. Let me tell you about the land that flows with milk and honey. Moses had never been there, but I think he had already been there in his heart. Amen. He had already set his heart upon the Promised Land. Amen. It's a journey. It's a journey that God had prepared a place for the children of Israel. There they would no longer have struggles. There they would no longer be under the bondage of Egypt.
They would have freedom and enjoy, amen, worshiping God together. Amen, what a wonderful place it was going to be. We are on a journey. Can I tell you, church, we are on a journey. Amen. This isn't all we signed up for. Amen. This isn't the main reason why. Amen. We gave our life to the Lord and started on this walk. We realized, amen, that there's something better ahead for every one of us, for the child of God. Amen. This is a journey. Amen. This is not the end of the road. Amen. This is just a journey to a destination. Amen. A place that God has set aside for his people, for his children to dwell in. Amen. God's prepared a place. Amen. The book of Hebrews says, for here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. Amen. There is something, we're on a journey. Amen. There's something waiting for us. Amen. There's something better than what we have right now. We're not always going to live in a tent. We're not always going to sleep on the rocky ground. We're not always going to dwell, amen, in the wilderness. But one day, amen, we're going to arrive at a promised land. One day is going to take us across Jordan. Amen. This journey is taking us to a destination. Hallelujah. Micah chapter 2 verse 10, arise ye and depart, for this is not your rest, because it is polluted. It shall destroy you, even with a sore destruction. I mean, can I tell you, we're living in a polluted world. We're living in a polluted world, but let me just remind you, amen, this is not the place to rest. This is not where we're calling home. Amen. But I want to be like Moses. I want to be like Abraham. Amen. And I want to have a view of something better ahead. Amen. That God has prepared for me. Praise God. Amen. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We're on a journey tonight. I know we go through hard things here, and I know, amen, it's difficult. I know it's tough. I know we have hardships that we have to go through. There's trials, there's tribulation, there's battles to be fought, but realize this is just the journey, amen, and once we arrive at Glory Land, amen, we'll look back and we'll say, it was worth it all. It was worth it all. Amen, one look upon Jesus' face, it'll be worth it all. Hallelujah. It's a journey. It's a journey. Amen. The longest journey starts with one step. Amen. And that is a choice not to settle for second best. A choice not to settle for second best. Moses told Hobab, listen, we are journeying. We're going somewhere. Amen. We are not always going to be what you see right now. I know right now we're just a struggling group. I know right now we're just wandering in a wilderness. I know right now it looks like we couldn't beat any army or defeat any enemy. But let me tell you, we are on a journey because God has promised us a place and a home, and we are going to dwell there. Church, listen. Amen. I don't care how difficult it gets in this life. Remember, it's only part of the journey. Amen. We're going somewhere. Hallelujah. And one day we will rest on heaven's shore. Amen. One day. Amen. Whether by the rapture or by the grave. Amen. We'll enter into that promised land. Amen. To forever be with the Lord. We'll leave behind all of our trials. We'll leave behind the tribulation. We'll leave behind all the hardship. Amen. We'll find a land of rest. Praise God. Amen. The journey starts on the day you were converted, the day you got saved, the day you gave your life to Jesus Christ. Amen. You started on a journey. Amen. The children of Israel, their journey started, amen, that night of the Passover. Amen. When the blood was applied to the doorposts of their home. Amen. And the death angel passed by. Amen. And they walked out of Egypt free. Amen. Praise God. My journey started the day that the blood of Jesus, amen, was applied to the door of my heart. Amen. And I was set free by the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank God that's when my journey started. It's not over. It's been long at times. It's been hard at times. But thank God. Amen. I'm still going somewhere. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Canaan was a prize to be won. You think about a journey. Man, there's the destination, that place. You know how it is, men, when you travel? You want to get there. The difference between a man and woman? Man, he wants to beat his best time to that destination. Right? Oh, man, I beat my best time by 10 minutes. A woman, she wants to stop at every rest area, every restaurant, every other exit, every exit that looks like it might be exciting. Don't have to just promise a little bit of excitement. They want to stop, right? They just take their time. What you can do in 6 hours, it takes them 8 hours to travel it because they want to enjoy the journey. Amen. There's something about that destination when you finally arrive there. Canaan was going to be a great prize. Amen. For people that had come out of bondage of Egypt, people that had wandered in a wilderness for over 40 years, man, sleeping on the rocky ground, living in tents. You don't think it was going to be awful marvelous to arrive in a promised land? They've been eating manna for all those years, and when they arrive in the promised land, they're eating of fields that they did not plant. Amen. They're enjoying the fruit of the vine that they did not have to plant. They're living in houses they didn't have to build. Amen. They're enjoying all the blessings. Let me tell you, it was a prize to be had. And listen, when we get to heaven, it'll be a glorious prize. It will be worth all that you expected. It'll far surpass your grandest expectation of what you thought heaven was going to be. Hallelujah. It's worth it. It's worth it. Man, no matter what you have to give up in this life to make heaven, it's worth it. Hey, man, you say, well, if I didn't have to serve the Lord, life would be so much easier. Listen, it'll be worth it when you get to heaven. It'll be worth it when you arrive there. Amen. I can guarantee you one moment inside of the gate. Amen. And you will not regret it, not one moment. Amen. It'll all be worth it. Amen. There's people that say it's too hard to live for God. Get your eye back on the destination. Realize this is just a journey. Amen. Y'all, the church requires too much of me. Amen. There's too many expectations. God's too hard. He has too many requirements of me. Amen. Get your eye on the destination. Amen. And realize we are in a journey. And it will all be worth it when you get there. Amen. I'm sure Moses painted a glorious picture of what the promised land was going to be. Hallelujah. Then he extended the invitation. He said, why don't you come with us? Why don't you come with us? We're on a journey. Amen. Why don't you come with us? Moses said, you know what? We're not offering you pie in the sky. But what we're offering you is real. Can I tell you, and I'm going to tell you, sometimes if people just look on, that's impossible. You tell them all the good things that God can do in somebody's life, and they'll say, no. Come on, just living for God, and I'm going to enjoy all those blessings. Sounds too good to be true in some cases. Sounds too good to be true, and there's many times we pass up the best for second best because it just sounds too good to be true. Hallelujah. Amen. Moses extended an invitation. Amen. He held out a promise to him. He said, we'll do you good. We'll do you good. Why don't you just come and go with us? Amen. Can I tell you, amen, that you need to take that journey. You need to take that journey. We're pressing on.
But some of you need to join in the journey and quit being a slave to second best.
Amen. All Hobab could see was a group of people living in a tent with no permanent dwelling. That's all he could see. He was probably looking on and thinking, yeah, Moses is right. Look at this. Look at this. They have no order about them. Look at these guys. They don't know how to travel in a wilderness. Look at these guys. They are obviously novices. They don't know east from west. They couldn't find the sunset. Amen. They don't know where the sun comes up in the morning. These people, Moses, you got to be kidding me. You got to be kidding me. Amen. But there was an invitation that was given. And why don't you come and go with us? Amen. We're going somewhere. We're going somewhere. Can I tell you, you don't want to miss out on the best that God has for you. You don't want to mess out on the best God has for you. And I tell you, you say, well, I'm a child of God. Well, let me tell you what. Amen. Don't settle for second best. Wait a minute. What do you mean? Amen. Have you been filled with the Holy Ghost? Have you been filled with the Holy Ghost? If you've not been filled with the Holy Ghost, amen, you're settling for second best. Because God's got something better that's just for you. God's got something that's better just for you. Amen. And you say, well, I just don't have a desire for it. I don't want to seek for it. Can I tell you, you need the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I'm afraid of it. I don't understand it. Amen. Don't miss out on what God has for you. You'll settle for second best, and one day you'll look back and you will regret that decision. Amen. You need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Maybe God's put a calling on your life. Don't run from the calling of God. Amen. You'll settle for second best. You'll settle for second best. Amen. Not only listen, and when we come to the house of God, how many times do you come to service and you settle for second best? When the presence of God is moving and people are getting touched and people are getting help and you don't even move off your pew. You don't even venture into the altar. You turn around, you fall into your pew, and that's where you stay for 5 minutes, and then you're done. Amen. Can I tell you, you're missing out on the best. God's got something better than that for you. Amen. Why settle for second best? Why? Amen. There's people that's going back on their convictions and their standards. I tell you what, you're going to settle for second best. You're going to settle for second best. Man, they say, well, I don't want to endure the persecution that comes with the standard. You're going to settle for second best. I don't want to make the sacrifice that's required of my life. Amen. To live a holy life and a holiness standard. I don't want to do that. I'm going to compromise, make it a little easier. Amen. You are going to settle for second best in your life. Amen. Don't settle for second best in your walk with God. And I felt like telling you this afternoon. Amen. In your home, don't settle for second best. You make your home a God-centered home. You make God the center of your home. And by that, you say, well, Brother David, we are a God-centered home because we pray over our meals. Whoa! You are amazing. You are amazing. I mean, you pray over your meal, that makes it a God. Listen, you know what? A God-centered home, amen, it changes the pictures that's on the wall. Amen, a God-centered home, amen, changes the music that's played on the radio. Amen, a God-centered home, amen, it changes what's viewed on a computer. Amen, a God-centered home, amen, it changes your conversation. A God-centered home changes your reading material. Amen, a God-centered home, amen, make your home a God-centered home. Don't settle for second best. Don't settle for second best. Oh, but you know what? We go to church together. Amen. You can do more than that. You're still settling for second best. Amen. Let God be the center of your home. Let God be the center of your marriage. Let God be the center of your family. Amen. Let your children know that your home is a God-centered home. Not a sometimes God-centered home. Not a part-time God-centered home. But a full-time, all the time, God-centered home. Amen. Faithful to the house of God. Amen. Obedient to the word of God. Amen. Living inside of the house. Amen. Like you want people to think you live outside of the house. Amen. Live a life of God-centered home. And you won't have to settle for second best. Amen. Young marrieds, listen to me. Hear me tonight. Amen. Don't settle for second best. Don't settle for second best. Amen. I believe what God can give you, amen, is something much more glorious. Amen. This journey that you're on can be one that is awesome and wonderful. Amen. With built around a God-centered home. Hallelujah. Don't, amen, don't throw it all away. Don't just settle for second best. There's going to be some battles. There's going to be some battles. And the children of Israel, they fought their share of battles. Amen, they fought their share of wars. They had enemies. They had those that sought to destroy them. Some from within. Amen, but listen, amen, keep yourself, amen, on the best that God has to offer. Amen, remember you're on a journey. Amen. Notice what he told him, he told Hobab, we will do thee good. There is a reward in not settling for second best. There's a great reward. Hallelujah. And if you would tell you what, if you're willing not to settle for second best, you could enjoy a glorious salvation. There is something wonderful about living every day knowing that you're right with God. There is an awesome peace that you can have in your life and in your home just living every day knowing I'm right with God. If you have to wake up every morning and questioning whether you're right with God or go to bed every night wondering if the Lord comes in the night, will you make it? Listen, you don't have that peace. Amen. You're settling, trying to settle for something second best. Amen. You need to know beyond a shadow of a doubt, amen, that you're right with God. That is a wonderful benefit to have. Knowing, amen, that you're living a life surrendered to God. Amen, that you're obedient to the voice of God. Amen, that you're living a life separated unto the Lord. Amen, there is a benefit to that, a blessing to that, a reward to that. It is good for you. Here's some I just want to share this with you, all right? People say, you know what, this dressing modest and living a modest life, I think that's ridiculous. Really? Men, do you want your wife walking around dressed and modest in front of men today? Do you want to have that fear put in your heart? Let me tell you what. There's something that's wonderful, a peace that comes, amen, when we live a modest holiness life. Hallelujah. Praise God. There's a peace there. There's a security there. Amen. There's men that you work with. Amen. They're always in question, always in doubt. Amen. Of the faithfulness of their spouse, can I tell you? Amen. There is a peace and there is a joy and there is a security when you know, amen, beyond a shadow of a doubt, amen, that you and your spouse are living according to the word of God and are faithful. Hallelujah. Amen. Do not settle for second best. Do not settle for second best. Hallelujah. Church. Oh, there's a great reward in having a church to go to. Amen. You know what? You're not on this journey alone. Look around you. Amen. When you fight a battle, amen, there's about a bunch of other people here that's fighting the battle with you. Amen. When you're going through a trial, guess what? Amen, there's a whole bunch of other people that's going through a trial. When the children of Israel, when one tribe got thirsty, guess what? They all got thirsty. When one tribe needed water out of a rock, they all needed water out of a rock. When they needed manna, they all needed manna. When they needed God to deliver them, they all needed God to deliver them. Amen. And you're looking around to be a part of a body of believers. Amen. It is a wonderful blessing. Amen. If you don't belong to the house of God, amen, you're settling for second best.
Hey, I've been to the funerals of the people that did not have a church family. And I've seen the misery as they suffered alone in their grief, because there was no one there to help them, to support them.
I've watched those that got married without a church family. And I've saw the sadness, amen, as they stood in front of an empty church. And when I say empty church, I mean an empty church. While them and their husband and their mom and just a few people up front witnessing it, and that was it. Nobody even bothered to come. And I saw the grief and the sadness there. Let me tell you, it's a wonderful thing to have a church family. Amen. I'm going to heaven with some of God's best people.
Amen. Don't throw it all away. Amen. For second best. For second best. Let me tell you, the presence of God that you feel when you come to church. I don't want to be mean, but I'm going to tell you now, you're not going to feel it everywhere. You're not going to feel it everywhere. Don't settle for second best. Amen. You make that choice in your life. Amen. To change and to go backward. To compromise. I mean, you're going to settle for second best in your life. When God has placed some of the best things that you can imagine right at your fingertips. Right at your fingertips. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't want to settle for second best. Not in any area of my life. Would you stand with me tonight? I don't know if you're here tonight and you've already settled for second best. If you're here tonight and you're thinking about making a change, and you're going to go back to second best. I don't want you to do that. Amen. I know the journey might be getting a little tough, but it'll be worth it when we get there. Can I tell you this too? Amen. I just feel in my heart that this journey is about ready to wind up. Amen. I don't feel like we have that much longer to journey. I don't feel like we have that much farther to go. No. And I would not want to go back to second best this late in the journey. Amen. Dear Jesus, God, we ask you, Lord, to speak to our heart tonight. God, help us, Lord Jesus. Realize what that you have for us. Something special and glorious. God, we don't ever want to surrender. We don't want to give it up. We don't want to go back. We don't want to compromise. We don't want to let down. We don't want to run from a calling. God, I ask you, Lord Jesus, help us not to settle for second best. Thank you. Hallelujah, Jesus. I was thinking of the children of Israel when they was making their journey into the promised land. They got up just close to the Jordan River. They were close enough they could see the promised land. But then there was 2.5 tribes that got looking at where they were. And you know what? They said, this is good enough for us. It's close enough. It's just across the river. If it's all right, Moses, we'd just like to settle right here. Is that all right with you, Moses? We're close. We're close enough we can come in and we can worship at the temple. We're close enough that we can journey in and we can still have contact with God's people. But Moses, if you don't mind, we look around. This seems to be good enough for us. Sometimes God's people
instead of pressing on into the blessing that God has for them and the wonderful blessing that is waiting for them. They settle for second best, and they pull back, and they miss out on the best that God has to offer. Hallelujah. Oh, come on now. People say, oh, Brother Brim, if this is second best, this is awfully good. Oh, maybe it is good, but I'll tell you what, best is so much better than second best. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hey, man, it's like going to the Dairy Queen or going to Ted Drew's. Hallelujah. Give me Ted Drew's any day. Ice cream, Dairy Queen's okay, but it's not Ted Drew's. Why don't you come to this altar with me tonight, church? Amen. Why don't you come and just determine in your heart you're not going to settle for second best. Hallelujah. Come now if you would.
Wilma's going in for some real serious testing. Amen. She'd like to have prayer tonight. Amen. If you'd come, some of you women, if you would, come. Let's have special prayer for Sister Wilma tonight. Amen. She needs the Lord to do a miracle for her. Amen. I know we can. I know we can.
Church, give the Lord praise tonight. Amen. He's our healer. He is our healer. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. God, we believe, Lord Jesus. God, we believe, Lord. We trust you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Do the work right now, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. We're nothing but a miracle. Do. There's nothing that the hand of God cannot bring you through. I know He's more than able, and He will deliver you. When nothing but a miracle will do. Oh, when nothing but a miracle will do. There's nothing that the hand of God cannot bring you through. I know He's more than able, and He will deliver you. When nothing but a miracle will do.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God, we thank you for your touch tonight, Lord. God, we thank you, Lord God, that we have the privilege, God, to achieve the best in our life, the best that God has to offer. And God, I pray, Lord Jesus, help us not to settle for anything less. God, I pray, Lord Jesus, that you touch Sister Wilma, give her healing. God, be with us, we pray, and we'll give you the glory and praise for what you do in our life. In the name of Jesus, amen, amen. Lord, bless you. Amen.
grandma